Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday. I've forgotten the date.
15th.
Thank you, ladies.
Halfway through the month.
Yay. Mm-hmm. So that means there's probably about 39 days till Christmas.
Yes.
Yay!
Well, I'll let you have that one.
Thank you. Well, I didn't start 80 days out like I normally do.
I'll let you have that one. It is now time.
Let's play Christmas songs, so really you're being very good.
I know, yes. Tabitha did request that I play a Christmas song this morning and I said no, not until December.
Yeah.
Keep it contained, Lee. Keep it contained.
Tabitha's here and she will...
Kill me.
Yeah.
So, as you can hear, I am joined in the studio today by my gorgeous co-host, the wonderful Gemma Fairclough-Paynes from Orchard Employment Law, speaker... entrepreneur, woman extraordinaire.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
That's your new title, by the way.
I'll take that.
Take that. Will you go with that? I think it's perfect. Yeah. And I should say, I was supposed to say national speaker, soon to become international speaker.
Global baby.
Global baby. World. And our guest is the gorgeous Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant.
Hello.
Hello. So we are completely unprepared today. We have been chatting up until the minute that I pressed the button to start the show.
But about business and work.
Well, we have, that's the trouble. We always start the conversation.
Off air.
Yeah. And it's like, right, what should we talk about when we're on air? But we were talking about business and marketing and stuff. So we're going to carry on with that because it is a business community show. So we are supposed to talk about business.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to have one little rant. I've obviously been living with Paul for too long. One little rant before we go any further. And it's more about children and schools.
Oh, what about them? I can join this one.
We can join this one. This is something that really gets me and something the government, whoever decides to get in eventually, sorts out. Okay, so too much pressure is put on children for their attendance and wrong children.
Yeah.
My poor little girl has been poorly this week. She had sickness, she's had diarrhoea, but she really kept on... Obviously, when she had sickness, she had to stay off, but when she had diarrhoea, she still wanted to go to school.
Yep.
And she hasn't been well. She should have been off school, but really wanted to go to school. And I'm like, what's wrong? You can stay off. No, I want to go. So then last night I questioned her, and I said, do they keep on mentioning it at school? And they do. They weekly, in assembly, they commend and say well done to all those students that have had good attendance. Mm. And weekly, in their class... they read out everyone's attendance. Yeah, and she said, and I'm always last, mummy.
Oh, bless
her. And I was like, excuse me, okay, if they go to school and when they're at school, they work really hard and they do their best. Who gives a damn when they're off because of sickness?
Exactly, it shouldn't be focused. I've also had my daughter off sick this week and got a phone call Monday. She's been sick, go and get her. Really surprising, she's never had a day off sick.
Mm.
So ran up and got her. Fine, she has to be off. So... rang up Wednesday, so this was Monday, rang up Wednesday and said she hasn't been ill since she left the school premises. Fine, she can come back at lunchtime. Dropped her off. 10 minutes later, I get a call. She's got tummy ache, take her home.
Oh, wow.
And that was actually not even been ill. Yeah. So I think the emphasis on attendance is across the board and understandable, but it should be not focused at the children who are genuinely ill.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, sickness and diarrhea. Legally, you cannot send them there for 48 hours.
Yeah.
But it's kind of needs to be more targeted maybe at the parents who are a little bit sloppy.
Exactly.
And
that's the trouble, isn't it? I mean, I'm not blaming the schools per se because they're under the pressure from the government. Our attendance. They're focusing so much on attendance. Well, how about focus on the children that are in school and making sure that they're schooled well and doing their best? And yes, and if you know that there are certain parents who don't bother whether their kids go to school or not,
target them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was like, right, that's it. I'm going to speak to you. And Lucy said, it's fine, mummy. It's all fine. Because obviously she doesn't want me going there screaming and shouting at headmaster. Yeah. But I'm just thinking, it makes me so angry that they focus so much more on their attendance than anything else.
Well, it comes down to a couple
of things. Her spelling is atrocious. Work on her spelling.
It comes down to a couple of things. One thing is productivity. What are they doing whilst they're at school? And then the other thing is it's exclusion, isn't it? Because some children are genuine. I mean, my daughter, Touchwood. This year she's been quite well, but yeah, I mean, every year she does gymnastics, so she tends to have some kind of sprain or break. She's asthmatic, she's got allergies, she has to go and see a consultant. She never has 100% attendance. And then what they do is, in our school, is they give the children who have 100% attendance an extra playtime where they get to go to the park. And what does to those that don't? But I just say, oh, well.
Don't worry about it.
Also, we had open afternoon yesterday because the difference between when I went to school is, you know, your parents came and you at the end of the day, and that was about as much as they had to do with the school. But now there's open afternoons and Mother's Day afternoons and Father's Day afternoons, and then the, all the other things in between, celebration assemblies once a month, etc. So went into the classroom. It was boiling. The classroom was literally on fire. We had to all strip off straight away. The children were all in their T-shirts and they had the windows open. So is there a legal temperature the classroom has to be? And actually, it's like going to a hospital. They're just breeding germs. They're making these children sicker.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Well, health and safety law could tell you about that.
Exactly. There we go. There we go. Straight. Yeah. Let's go right into law
there's,
and business
there's
now.
There's no maximum in this country for heat, but there is a minimum.
So what's the minimum for a classroom or a, so an office?
I think it's 14 or 16 degrees.
It's, oh,
not,
so it's, really low.
It's not particularly high. And obviously, that change, it depends on what you're doing. But there's no maximum because we're not actually equipped for the hot weather that we've been having
a hot country,
year in, year out for the past few years.
That's interesting. So the school could actually save itself some money by turning the heating off.
Exactly.
You know, and it, even if it was on for an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon or something, it's not actually got that, that cold. I know this morning was a bit fresh, but...
A bit fresh?
Freezing. Okay, we're really focused on business today, aren't we?
But anyway, let's, sorry, rant over. I just had to get that off my chest because it really annoys me and saved me going and having to go at the headmaster, which I might, still might do. But we have got some tweets coming in as well. We do want to hear from you, the listeners out there. What do you think? Is our school system screwed up? Do they need to sort it out? Let us know. Give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with the hashtag BeExtraBeBunker. We have got a fantastic tweet from Athelbray. I love the sheep. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can
the
see
sheep
it.
Throwing snowballs.
A sheep gift.
Have a good day. We're out today. It's chilly in West Kent. Hope everyone has a good weekend. And don't forget to give us a call if you want to discuss staff development and training for 2020. Yes, 2020. Let's get yourself sorted. So Athelbray at Athelbray Limited on the Twitter. And you do some training with them, don't you?
I do. I do quite a fair bit of training with them. I've been doing it for a couple of years now. They're a great company. They have really great associates.
They do. They work with the only the best people ever.
But genuinely, they really do. They work up and down the country with various different organisations, employers, charities, etc. And they offer a really large variety of courses as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It covers all areas, doesn't it? Which is great. We've had one from the Business Diaries. That's coming soon. Hello, Bunk Extra. Can we say a massive thanks to these wonderful Kent businesses? So this is Security Speak, which is Tenant Agent Richard Bell, our very own Richard Bell, who is back soon, honestly. Pie Accountants and Pink Lemon Brand and Sue Hainsby of Carleen Lettings. They've kindly supporting our next storytelling on the 5th of December. They've sponsored it. So this is the Christmas special. And always when they do the Christmas special, they give all monies taken to charity. And I'm just going to go to it because have you launched the speakers yet? I've seen one speaker. Come on, Lisa, who are your speakers? So we have got, here we go. We've got Paul Manville from DC Weddings is going to join as a speaker. And I know Beverly Bunn is one of the speakers. Here we go. The wonderful Beverly Bunn, who will be sharing her story. Is that the only two we've got at the moment?
Could you tell me a bit more about Business Diaries? Because I come across it.
Yes.
Let me tell you about it. I think it's amazing.
Because I would love to get involved, come along, be on it, whatever.
Should do,
I've seen it.
And there's two.
I don't actually know what it is.
There's a Tunbridge Wells version, isn't there?
Yes.
They're still going.
Yes.
And then we've got the Medway version. So it was started by Lisa Settle Telcare in their 20th year. I think it was for their anniversary. And they wanted to just give people a chance to tell their stories. So they had four. It was just only ever meant to be four, but there were more.
They've grown, haven't they?
Yeah, they've grown. We won't let them leave it alone. So they had four sessions. It's in the evening. And there's a small fee of nibbles and some Prosecco because Lisa knows how to do it in style.
Exactly. She provides the Prosecco. I hope you're listening, Roland. Prosecco, not beer.
Yeah. And she has, is it five speakers now? Started off with six, but now there's five speakers that speak for only 15 minutes. And it's normally quite a personal story. So they get given a theme. Amanda and I were on the very first one.
I was the first ever speaker in the first ever one. Yeah. And I had tonsillitis at the time as well.
Did you?
I was really unwell.
And our theme was working away, which means different things to different people. So some people had stories about, well, my story was working away, worked from home, but I had to work away sometimes. You worked abroad.
I worked abroad,
and really you get to know the person. So it's not like a plug. It's not
A sales pitch.
It's not at all. But you really get to know the person. Some of them are funny. Some of them are, some of them are hilarious. Mm. Some of them are quite serious. Some of them make you want to cry. Some of them make
God,
you cry.
Oh, God, yeah. Bring tissues.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, wow. Some of the stories. And you get goosebumps.
Yeah.
You cry. And I think the funniest story, I think we should do an award, still has to go to Paul. and his analog.
And the other one.
And then the other one, whatever that was, Paul. But his talk was still the funniest. And there's been a couple of sad stories. Yeah. And it's one of those things, isn't it? And it's a lot within the Kent business community. Everybody knows everybody. Or, you know, we know a lot of people.
Well, you think you know people. Well, you think,
yeah, but I mean, you've met these people. Yeah. And we know the business side and we know what's happening with their business. So you always, when you're with people, we do always, steady, don't wreck the studio. Mm-hmm. We always inevitably talk about business, how business is, how's your business, what's going and what's not working. So the business diaries always has a business theme. So it might be what led to your business journey or whatever like that. But it's just hearing different people's stories about and their interpretation of the theme.
It's more intimate as well. Mm. And we've had a few instances, I say we as if it's my event.
Yeah, we because we always go.
But there's been a few instances where people have told people things that they've never told anyone else for the first time. So it's really...
I think that's the magic thing about being a business owner, becoming self-employed, taking the leap, because it's a massive leap. Mm. There is always something that pushes you. And it's normally something that has put you in a difficult situation or has stretched you or has changed your circumstances. And I know this week they reported on the news that the employment rate's down. Mm. And then they followed up by saying, but... more people, it's not the fact that more people are in employment, it's the fact that actually more people are going elsewhere and doing their own thing and looking, because people are needing more of a work-life balance. People are needing different sort of rewards, I guess. And that's what it's about, because taking that leap out of full-time employment or employment altogether, you know, no sick pay, no holiday cover, whatever, it's there's normally a pretty big reason.
Compelling reason why you would do that.
Well, exactly. Why would you want to? Why? Yeah.
Why you would.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of the things. It's not a networking event, but obviously a lot of networking goes on. You network wherever you are and whatever you do, but it's great because then also a lot of the time people resonate as well. That underlining story from people and you can resonate or you can feel for them.
Well, ultimately people buy people, don't they?
Exactly.
And, you know, if you are a small business owner and you want to work with trusted people, you have to like them.
Yeah.
You know, no one's making you choose that person to work with. Therefore, you choose them potentially because you like them. Yeah.
We've got Lisa's tweet.
She says, thank you, Gemma. Expertly described. Storytellers are Beverly Bunn, who is just, you know, hilarious.
We love Beverly, yeah.
Beverly Webb. Do I know Beverly Webb?
I don't know. Do we know Beverly Webb?
I don't know.
We're going to know more about Beverly Webb.
Zoe Cairns, who we know is an expert.
Zoe! Yes.
Paul Manville and a representative from the charity Rewrite Your Story.
Which is a charity being supported by the Business Diaries this time. And I just moved it and I've lost it now. What was I going to say? Diamond Circle. And yeah, anyway, but there's only a couple of tickets left. She has her own.
Is there? Can you just take one of those off, please?
Yeah, and Lisa? Paul and I are definitely coming. Just sort of babysitter.
When is it?
5th of December. 5th of December.
It'll be in the evening.
We'll be there.
Oh, this is the problem.
At the innovation.
So there'll be at least 1, 2, 3, 4 bottles of Prosecco, please. Just for us, Lisa. But no, it is great. We better get a move on because we're really.
Let's have some
today.
More shout outs. So we've had one from Diamond Circle Weddings who says, morning, listening live and enjoying your conversation about the Business Diaries.
Yeah, we're looking forward to hearing your story, Paul. Yeah. Can't wait. I'm going with his is going to be funny.
Yeah, I'm sure. One from Phil Wilson, that's Pip Drums. He says, have a great show. I'll send your love to Cardiff.
He's in Cardiff. He's out there traveling about. Yeah. Gets out and about, doesn't he?
Another one which I'll just give from Fruitworks Co-working. They're expanding. I'm really enjoying following their co-working expansion on Twitter and Instagram as well. They've been showing quite a few pictures. So it's a shout out. Big news coming 2020. Our new Fruitworks event space will be ready soon. An amazing space in Canterbury City Centre for hire for anyone needing a space. Daytime or evening, get in touch to be kept up to date. So if you follow at Fruitworks Co, then you can find out more information there.
And co-working in spaces like that is also a great way to meet other business owners, to network, to potentially swap business connections and things like that. I wish there was a Fruitworks. I know we're currently sat in Kent space, so we can't really say it too loud, but I do wish there was a Fruitworks equivalent in Ashford.
I think there should be, I mean, as somebody who works in a, whose office is in a co-working space, it's just been brilliant for for my business. So I've cut down on my networking tremendously, because, and one of the reasons is because I network every day. Just going into the office and there are 60 other businesses or more in there, then you're naturally just gelling.
That's 60 potential clients for you.
Potentially, all their clients are potentially my clients. So,
yeah. You don't need to go anywhere else.
Don't
need to.
Sorted. So I've seen a tweet coming through from Lisa and I couldn't find it, but now I found it. And she's so sad to hear that children are being shamed re-attendance at school. Children and health conditions just can't compete. Yeah. We agree. I'll start a whole new campaign, okay? you lot out there trying to campaign for our votes, sort out the schools. And don't bother about trying to persuade us with free Wi-Fi.
Maybe we should just
coverage.
Campaign. I genuinely think we might be able to sort it out rather than... Well, let's not get political, but...
let's move on for that word. but do check that out. If you go to at the Biz, B-I-Z, Diaries on Twitter, Business Diaries on Facebook, or if you go to Eventbrite, the Business Diaries, 5th December at the Innovation Centre at Chatham, 6:45 p.m. Come along. And it's going to be the Christmas ones. There's going to be lots of Christmas spirit going around.
We've got a tweet from Tracy Ferguson, so we know she'll listen a bit later.
Yes.
She says, have a great show, ladies. I'm volunteering at the Adult Literacy Club. Oh, that's brilliant.
She's always volunteering and helping. Amazing, Tracy.
Catch up over the weekend. I'd love to hear more about the Adult Literacy Club. Tracy, when you get a moment, tweet about it.
Yes, let us know more about it.
Lovely to see Gemma and Paul, Vanilla Webb, and others recognised at FSB Kent Thank You Breakfast.
Yes. That was sneaky.
It was.
I saw you was there.
Yeah, I get around.
Oh, no, exactly.
That wasn't an advertised event, though. It was private.
It was private.
Only for the very, very special people.
Yeah, I know.
We're not special enough to have it.
No. Yeah. I emailed Alison a few weeks ago, Alison Palmer from the FSB as well, sort of asking what was going on and things.
Yeah.
I've just renewed my membership and I felt their networking had died down a bit.
It has. So, they've had to reduce the amount of events that they do.
Yeah.
No budget.
I've noticed that. But yeah, then I saw that. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. I've always been a bit of an FSB advocate.
It wasn't a networking event. Well, it wasn't one.
It's
just that when you bring people together, they naturally network.
Yeah.
So it was a thank you breakfast for most people that do events.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was lovely.
It was good to have the recognition as well, which is
and
good.
The food, can I just give a shout out for McNaid's? Oh my gosh, I've never been there before.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? I haven't either,
I've
but everyone talks about
good,
it.
Yeah,
I mean, as a pescatarian, which basically means I eat fish.
Nothing. I eat nothing but fish.
Not that I'm a pest.
Well, pescatarian. We might disagree with
normally
that.
My breakfast, if I say I'm pescatarian, my breakfast is really rubbish, but it was just delicious. Smoked salmon, avocados.
Nice.
Mushrooms.
Ooh.
Yeah, go there again.
Yeah.
You're just making me hungry now. We haven't even got biscuits.
No, we need to get a date in the diary for that one. We do have one more shout out, which is from 6-2. Can we have a shout out for the next digital meetup, please? Join us on Wednesday, which is next Wednesday from 6:30, the Ashford Picture House, to hear two great stories, Glenn Wilson and Alan Stripp from AM Marketing. You know, beginning to, all these people are employing people and I never know who these people are now.
You're like,
it's like AM Marketing have got new people.
A new person, yeah.
And who else? Molly's got a new person now.
Yeah.
And Aviso, Lucy Hort Aviso. And they've got all these new people. And obviously with ZC Social Media, their people are out doing talking. I'm like, who are you?
But isn't that great, though?
No, it's
nice
great.
To see
it's
the growth, right?
Yeah. It's amazing. It is good.
It's nice to see it. It's lovely.
It is. But do check that out. If you go to Kent Digital Meetup, Kent Digital Meetup, isn't it, the website, and you can book on for that. It's free to attend. You get pizza and beer. Still working on these people to do pizza, beer and Prosecco. We don't do beer. But it's worth that. So there's lots of little events going on still out there. I mean, all this time, I still haven't caught up with what you've been busy, but apart from FSB brunching or breakfasting.
Breakfasting.
You've been travelling around the world.
I have been travelling the world. So,
well, to Paris anyway. Well,
yeah, that's the world, isn't it?
It's not Kent. So.
So, I went along to Unleash HR, which was an amazing event in the Paris Convention Centre. So I went there for 2 days and heard lots of speakers, had some interesting conversations.
Was it in English?
In English, totally in English. And the speakers were from all over the world. So we had Janice B. Gordon, who was speaking from here. We had people from America, people from Asia, people from Australia, people from Europe. So when people are like, so where did you come from today? You want to say Kent, but really you need to like be like England, firstly.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, where in England? Right, now we can get down to it.
Kent,
And it was just really, really, really brilliant event. It was all about HR technology recruitment and all these different things, but absolutely amazing. I ate my weight's worth in bread whilst I was over there.
Well, yeah. Obviously, when you're not on the, in a different country, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. I was like, you know, these people eat bread, cheese and wine and they're skinny, so clearly there's no calories in there. So yeah, so that was really fantastic. And then I think either the following week or a couple of weeks later, I was speaking at a really interesting event called See Her Thrive in London, around the corner from Oxford Street. And that was aimed at HR professionals. I was the only keynote speaker about talking about women's health. And I learned a lot too. So the lady who, Claire, who ran the event, it's her event, she goes into organisations. She's a psychologist and speaks about the effects that menopause, fertility, endometriosis, polycystic ovaries and all these different things have on women in the workplace. The amount of women that are leaving work because of these conditions or not progressing and being told, well, you can't because of your health, is just phenomenally disgusting, really.
It's just something you don't think about, you don't know about until you're in that situation or you meet someone in that situation. You know, when I had my first daughter, I came across mums that, you know, sort of talk about work and say, oh, well, I left. I was struggling to conceive, so I left my job. And it's like, wow, you actually gave up your career just to try and get pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, these are massive steps. Why were they forced to leave, or why did they feel they had to leave?
Yeah.
Because their job was potentially too stressful, it wasn't supported.
Or they weren't given the support. I mean, I don't know that much about the fertility side of things, but with the menopause, that has an impact. Often women are being taken through capability procedures, and sometimes rightly, but a lot of the times wrongly, because it's not capability, it's just that they've got certain symptoms that are happening as a result of the menopause, such as brain fog and forgetfulness.
Sweats,
all of these things. Yeah. And the simple things you can do, like, you know, just have a fan, allow them to take some time out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those kind of things.
It's awful because it's embarrassing as well. You know, who wants to put their hand up and say things like that? So
So that was a really interesting event. It was quite a small event. I don't know, maybe 10, 15 people, but some really large, well-known organisations attended that event. So that's what I've been up to.
Good that it's on the radar.
Yeah.
It's interesting though, because my husband works for a very large agency in London, and he has been asked to join the diversity committee, and he's the only man on it. Mm. And he's come back and he's learned all these new things about, you know, these issues women are having, and, you know, learning about the company's maternity rights and paternity rights that he never really knew about or took much interest in. And all of a sudden, they're getting other people involved. They're opening it up. They're having these discussions. And I think it's fantastic that companies are finally sitting up and doing something about this.
Well, Claire's got this new program which she's rolling out to companies called Manopause, which is information on the menopause, but for men, because she said, I appreciate that a lot of men don't want to be sat in the same room as women, not knowing what to say.
She goes to speak to
male managers about what is happening and what they can expect and how they can support women.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say that men also went through something as well. No. And it's now called, you know, because they say men have pregnancy symptoms and things. And, you know, men have monthly symptoms and men now have menopauses.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that at all.
No, I just couldn't imagine. You imagine a man, why would a man wouldn't want to sit in a room full of menopausal women?
But also, do they really want to listen and hear about it?
But then that's why she's put this program.
But that's, you say, that's the thing, though, is...
Yeah.
Certainly for employers, they've got to understand their female employees, and they can't just turn around and go, oh, you know, you've got period or you're going through menopause, because that doesn't really help, does it? It doesn't help. It's this, you know, they've got to understand the symptoms that we go through and the extra stress it causes by having the pressure from work, not understanding that you're not feeling very well.
Yeah. And it's how you deal with it. So when I was speaking, I looked at two actual cases that had happened, one with against BT as an employer and one against the police. The way that BT dealt with this menopause was to take it through capability. And what he did, the manager said, well, my wife's gone through the menopause and so has another colleague, and they've not experienced any of the things that you're saying. Therefore, you're just rubbish at your job and we're going to dismiss you. She won her case based on gender discrimination. And the court said, well, had it been any other condition, what they would have done is you would have written to her doctor or occupational health, or sought expert advice. You wouldn't just take it on your knowledge, which is very, very limited. You know, just because you are married to a woman that's been through menopause doesn't mean you know everything about it.
Yeah.
On the contrary, though, a similar case which happened against the police is a lady was required to do they do the bleep test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she'd put on a lot of weight as a result of menopause and thyroid. and wasn't able to do the bleep test. They gave her a personal trainer. They extended her lunchtime.
Oh, that's nice.
Put all sorts of things in place. Essentially, she wasn't able to do the job anymore. They dismissed her, but after giving her lots of support, and the court said, fine, yes, okay, she's not able to do the job anymore. That's absolutely fine. You've done the best
you
possibly can.
But do they have to find her another job within the organisation? No. Oh, right. Okay.
So capability. Well, it just shows that it's about how you manage the situation rather than, you know.
But there's a part of me that, a bit like the school situation, I feel very sorry for the teachers in our schools because they're having to do so much more than just teach. I feel very sorry kind of almost for employees now because it's not just a case of I need someone to do this job, I'm going to employ someone. All of a sudden they have to ensure that they are not offending anyone's gender, ethnicity, beliefs, backgrounds, then their state in life, what they're going through, their physical, their mental. There's so much more now and they are almost held responsible for that person.
Well, they're definitely held responsible, and I think that is the thing. It's one of those, as an employer, I'm an employer myself, so, but you then do become responsible because people are not single entities. So when you take on somebody, they have a life outside of work, and that will have an impact. You know, it could be they have a cold, it could be they've got childcare issues, it could be they're, you know, going through a medical issue themselves, it could be they're looking after an elderly parent. And unfortunately, that burden then does fall down onto the employer, but it's sort of part and parcel of the job, really.
Hmm. And do you think that's changing the pattern in employment? Are people looking externally to consultants to plug the gap rather than actually taking someone on and paying?
I hear lots of people say that, actually, I don't want that because I don't want to be paying maternity leave. I don't want to be paying sick pay. I don't want, you know, when I said I was taking on and Lucy, lots of people were like, why would you do that? You know, you yourself know the perils of employing somebody. Why would you take on somebody? But I had my own reasons for wanting to do that. I wanted someone to grow within the business.
But that's the thing, isn't there? There are, for all the downsides, there are still bonuses for having employees and having somebody working within the business.
Somebody who's dedicated to
the business.
To the business, And that's kind of it. And plus the government's making it harder and harder for you to take on self-employed people anyway.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to hear.
Paul has just sent me a quick message saying that he was once on TV having an interview about menopause. He said it was the shortest interview he's ever done.
Really? Interesting to hear what you had to say, Paul.
So not a lot. I have had a quick tweet from Paul at Diamond Wedding Circle, and he said, bring the tissues. But is that because we're going to be crying at your story, Paul, or we're going to be laughing so much? Oh, it could be sad. It could be happy.
Probably have to wait and see.
And Paul has just booked tickets, so I'm just hoping I can get a babysitter now. If not, Lucy's going to be coming with us. That's fine. Right, we're going to have a quick break now, a bit of musical interlude, and then we'll be back after this. And we're going to be learning more about Tabitha and marketing and everything like that.
Related,
exactly. Which is a lot, to be fair.
Yeah.
We've only got another half an hour of the show, and we've got enough time. We'll be back right after this.
To eyes wide shut. No more.
I keep trying, nothing's working. I still wanna know if you're alone. I keep trying to put this behind me. I still wanna know who's taking you home.
Stay up all night, go where the music.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And welcome back. We're still here. Yes, we didn't stop talking the whole time through that. And we still keep talking. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 15th of November. There is about 39 sleeps till Christmas.
I've only been invited to one Christmas party. What is going on?
Haven't even been invited to one.
I haven't been invited to any either.
Like last year I had about 4 or 5. Invitations must be lost in the post.
It's austerity.
Austerity.
austerity
measures.
Come on, we need something.
You know what I think we should do? I keep on meaning to organise this. Let's do a ladies at lunch Christmas special for entrepreneurs.
Let's do it.
Shall I organise it? I'll get it out there.
There's the Women in Business Christmas lunch Eastwell Manor on the Tuesday 3rd. But I've got a client meeting that day, so I can't do that day.
No. But thanks for the shout out, the Woman in Business.
Yes, yes, and one of their speakers is Jane Farnham from the Great British Speakers. I wonder where they found that speaker.
Brilliant. There we go.
Yes, but no, do the show. But no, I think I should. Let's do a, you know.
God, do you know that? That was my tummy rumbling. Yes. I'm so sorry. I really hope that didn't make it onto the radio.
Let's do it, ladies. I'll organise it. I'll start tweeting everybody. Let's sort it out. Definitely. So anyway, moving on. It is not long till Christmas. Are you organised? Anyone started shopping yet?
Yes.
No.
I ate chocolate orange in bed last night while I wrote my Christmas list.
Ooh.
I'm on it. I have a Philofax. It's a Kath Kidson Christmas organiser and it is everyone needs it in their life. It should be mandatory. And you just write down everything. It's got sections for the food, the cards, the presents.
Can you just come and work for me?
Yeah. I'm a strategic planner by trade. What do you expect?
Exactly. I mean, I'm a good planner, but that's just going a little bit too far.
I'm not. You need to be honest. I need that in my life.
Not just marketing campaigns, Christmas as well. Sorted.
Exactly.
So what's hot in marketing? What do we need to be doing? What's hot?
Well, it's interesting because we've been talking on air. It's a really interesting time at the moment. Budgets are tight. But marketing is a necessity. Marketing isn't always, it should always be switched on. Obviously, we're looking at the continual growth of digital, the switch from offline to online. I don't believe there should be a switch. I think there should be an incorporation, if I'm honest. Before we went live on air, we were watching the John Lewis and Waitrose Christmas advert.
We did.
And we were saying we hadn't seen it on TV. Mm. And obviously, it will be on TV because it has to be. But yeah, when does it go on? When do they start it? It is already, it's gone viral. Mm. So they've kind of already got that tick in the box. But it's definitely still important to be offline. You're still consuming media offline every day. You're still looking at whether you buy a paper or not, or a magazine or not. You're still coming across billboards, roundabout advertising. You're still potentially listening to the radio.
What do you think about post?
DM, direct mail?
Yeah, because I'm thinking that's making a comeback because we're getting less posts, right?
Yeah. So direct mail, obviously everyone loves to call it junk mail because you used to get so much of it and there'll be wads and wads through your letterbox every day. But then that kind of has stopped. The last 10 years, there's been a huge decline in direct mail. Mm. But now it's an opportunity because no one's doing direct mail or very few companies are doing direct mail. It's not actually a very expensive way to get your message directly through someone's letterbox. You can still do it with the Royal Mail. So you pay the Royal Mail per 1,000 and it goes within, you can postcode specifically pick.
Yep.
So if you're targeting families or affluence or whatever the ABC model is, you can be really, really specific and it's directly on someone's floor. And if they're not getting any other post, they still get this.
Yeah. So, it's not going to go in their spam box. That's the thing, right? Because there's no spam box.
Exactly. Right. How many people? But you still pick it up and might see it first.
Yes, no, absolutely.
I could tell you the brands that advertise through the door in my neighbourhood. Mm. But, you know, potentially I'm more aware of it.
Well,
and I
exactly.
Look at things,
you do pay attention to these things. But my one concern with that would be is in the world where we're trying to become more sustainable.
Paper. Are you saying about paper?
Yeah, but exactly. But what do you send through the post? And is the post, is what you're being printed sustainable? So, i.e., is it on? I think all printers
are recyclable.
Well, recyclable. You always used to be just talking about recyclable. Nowadays, it's about sustainable, which means it can be reused or it can be recycled. So, yes, most paper these days are from sustainable sources. So, they're always, most printers will work with the FSC organisation to make sure that basically for every tree cut down, another one's planted. But then what about the inks that they use? Mm. So unless they use vegetable inks, the inks can't be, it can't be recycled, because once they're washed out, you just get a toxic bowl of toxic mess, whereas vegetable inks obviously get washed away. So that was that, I do agree that direct marketing is a really good way to go, as you say, because you're not, now you're fighting the crowds on online, aren't you? Everybody's online, everyone's promoting their business online, so you're fighting with the crowds, whereas if you do something that everyone's not doing, but just be aware to do it sustainably. So use a printers that you know work sustainably.
Big, or find one.
Big recommendation, Buckland Media.
Oh, yeah.
Everything they do is completely 100% sustainable.
Nice.
And very flexible as well. They're brilliant. Good. But yeah, but it's, you should say, it's not just, don't just concentrate and have an online presence. Have, still have those touch points in different areas.
And I think it's very wrong of people to say, you know, it's just about online marketing now and, you know, offline is dead. Because ultimately, we're still out and about. People are still getting on trains. People are still going on the tube. People are still driving around. They're still seeing things, even from your trip to the supermarket. Even if you don't go to the supermarket and you do click and collect, you still get material with these things. So it's important. The most important thing that I tell all my clients, and I know you, I've said this to you guys before, is target market. Who's your target market? That's the thing, isn't it? And where are they? You know, if I'm trying to sell Saga holidays, I'm not going to be on Snapchat.
No. Yeah, of course.
I'm going to probably look more to the local press and more, you know, because they're potentially more likely to be buying the Kent Messenger or, you know, whatever. And there are just lots of options. And the only thing that goes against it, well, the two things, the two major things that I explain to my clients about it is it tends to be more expensive. You know, it is still quite expensive. Even if you wanted a quarter page ad in Kent Life magazine, you know, it's one of the highest covering glossies in Kent. It's actually really expensive. And also measurability.
Yeah.
With online, it's great. You can measure the clicks. You can see where people are going. Where were they before? Where have they come from? Where are they going? What sites are they looking at? What have they done about seeing your advert or your whatever it is? Unfortunately, it's very difficult to measure. Yes, you can put bespoke telephone numbers in, call to actions, unique URLs in with a code. You'll often see on the tube, it will have something like www.applesonline.com/tube.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's their way of measuring it. But it's tricky.
Yeah. So your message really is you need to be not just using one method of marketing, but think about your target audience being offline and online. And relationship marketing as well, still.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think people are forgetting that sometimes.
Also, think about who your past clients have been, who your past customers are. You know, apply the 80-20, is it Pareto's effect?
Pareto's.
Say his name properly. 80% of your business comes from 20% of your customers. Therefore, don't forget your customers. Exactly. You know, if you're selling specifically around the festive period, what was your database from last year like? Have you sent them a reminder email, a refresh, maybe a discount for coming back? There's so much you can do, but reward and thank and love your client, your current and your past clients. They're far more likely to come back and they're far easier to win than new clients.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm taking it all in.
I'm just like,
Do you want to write it down?
Yeah.
Like, go listen
mental
again.
Mental notes.
Should listen again.
I was just thinking about, because we've had similar conversations before. I think it was one time when Paul was on the show, he was talking about, obviously, there are some industries or some places where you won't necessarily have continual clients, same customers all the time.
It's like if you sell a house, then they're unlikely to be buying a house every year or every 6 months.
So then you look for lookalikes.
Right, exactly.
So that's the thing, is that within the events industry, generally, it's not necessarily a repeated business for me. I have one client that had done a huge anniversary dinner 3 years ago now on Tower Bridge. they're not going to do that again because it was a huge budget and that's a one-off. Obviously, keep in touch if there's any smaller events want to do, but they're not the type of company that do events, but they do, you know, corporate hospitality once every 25 years. Oh, wait, no, 25 years.
So
but
you need to find lookalikes.
That's it, isn't it? It's not just a case of majority of the time, if you've got clients that are ongoing clients, look after those, nourish them, return their phone calls, return their emails, keep in contact with them for sure, because otherwise they're going to go elsewhere, aren't they, at the end of the day? If you've got a client and you're not maintaining that relationship, and if you're really busy and you have staff, make sure they maintain that. I mean,
yeah. Funny, because obviously we were talking about this online, about a service that we've all used and not received emails back from, a service that we're paying, and it's a personal service, and you contact the person and they don't get back to you. To me, it's bizarre that you would never respond to someone or you wouldn't get back to your emails. Like, I'm the person that when I get someone contacting me on LinkedIn saying, oh, I'd really like to know how you set up, I always contact them.
Yeah.
I always reply. Mm-hmm. You know, I had someone send me a link to a online freelance kind of, you know, like look for any trade.com type thing. And they said, oh, I saw your blog and we do this website. Could you put our URL in your website? And I responded to them. It's not suitable for me, but I still responded to
them. Well, no, exactly.
Maybe I've got too much time on my
hands. Well, yeah, maybe you do.
I think that's it. It's, you know what? It comes down to a lot of common courtesy. Mm. And actually, that's what we like.
And treat people the way you want to be treated. Yeah. There's nothing worse than being ignored for me.
Mm. Yeah, well, no, but I agree. And sometimes I think we all occasionally fall into the trap because you see an email and you think, right, I haven't got time to respond to this. But then you read it. And then in your head, you've responded to it and you haven't.
And you forget, yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, no, I haven't responded to it. So you are a little bit delayed in it. But even if you know you're super busy and you can't reply all the time, then, you know, hello, automatic email. I'm really sorry. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I have got your email. Please bear with me. It doesn't take 2 seconds to
and
do
I've
that.
And I've actually
taken
that to, I don't know if anyone else uses WhatsApp as much as I do, but that's my main communication tool now. And not necessarily for business, but sort of personally, but clients do contact me on WhatsApp. I just leave a little voice recording because, you know, how long does it take to write a long message back to a friend or back to someone? And now I've started just leaving a voice message just to say, oh, blah, 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 and blah, blah, you know. And it's just that response, isn't it? It's just
the world's worst WhatsApp communicator.
Do you just write them in your head and then think you've sent them?
No.
You just ignore them, basically. Send that and never reply.
Actually, I don't have clients contacting me on WhatsApp. It's only my friends and family who I love dearly.
And so they used to be ignored.
Ignored. Or the thing with me is my communication by text or WhatsApp, even email, is incredibly short and curt. I remember when Lucy first started working with me, like for the first 3 months, she just thought she was constantly in trouble.
Oh.
She'd send me this like really long email about or message about how, you know, there's going to be traffic on the A2 and blah, 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 blah. So she's going to be late. And I would go, okay.
Yeah. Which, you're one of those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I am. Yeah. Which is why I love picking up the phone and speaking to people. Like, I'm just so much better having a conversation.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm terrible.
But I think, going back to business marketing, take that into consideration as well. Mm. How do you communicate? What is the best way? And also live your brand. You know, you are selling your product, your service, your whatever your business is. So be on brand with it. How do you communicate? If you were to contact, I don't know, say, you know, the Financial Times or something, and they wrote back on Twitter. So, for example, you're on Twitter, you've seen something and you message them directly and they write back saying, hiya, thanks for that emoji, smiley, winky emoji, da 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 da. That's not on brand for the Financial Times. Exactly. I recently did a competitor review of emails. So one of my clients wanted me to look at all of their competitors' newsletters that were coming out. So I signed up to all these companies and I was getting all their newsletters and I had to do a spreadsheet. And there was one company that every email title started with an emoji at the front and an emoji at the back. And then their message was very much youthful and interactive. They had GIFs in their newsletter. And it was a brilliant example. But I wasn't saying to my client, you need to do this. Mm. I was saying to my client, these guys know their brand. They know their tone of voice. They know what they're talking about and who their target market is. And they're using that.
Yeah.
So it is really interesting to see how it comes across.
It's quite funny then if somebody tries to copy that.
Exactly.
But it's completely off-brand. Yeah. And it's like,
it won't be authentic, will it? And people will know that there's something wrong there. So, yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah. How would you, if somebody was going, okay, no, I totally agree with you, with regards to obviously targeting the marketing to your target audience. This has always been bemused me since I ever started. And they were going, where do they go? What magazines do they read? You know, where do they shop or something? How in the hell do you know what magazines they read or where they do their shopping or things like that? Are you just imagining that's where they are?
No,
or?
So you create an avatar. So, for example, if I were working, I was an upmarket cruise company, I would automatically know that my target market is going to be age between, say, 45 and 75. I would know that my holidays are fairly expensive, therefore they would need to be affluent. Therefore, I would build this avatar around what they're likely to do. So say they're likely to live in Tunbridge Wells, they are likely to shop in Waitrose, they are likely to drive a Mercedes, a BMW, or maybe even a Tesla. They are likely to be retired. They are likely to potentially play golf and be members of the squash club.
You're still imagining that. I think that comes back to
you.
Is there somewhere you can go and say, what? Because I know on Facebook, for instance, they do these lookalike audiences. Yeah. So you can say, I do wedding events. You can go to a bridal shop page and say, show me customers like their customers. Show me what they're looking at. And then it will come up with all of the things that their clients look at.
Mm.
And I think that, as you say, with the research, you can then say, well, I know that people who are looking at bridal dresses are also reading this magazine or drinking this wine. Or everything comes back to wine. There's a problem here.
Wine, Prosecco, food.
Or going to this place. So I think some of it is your imagination, but there are definitely tools you can use.
Yeah, there are tools. There's research tools. But there's also... that there is the common sense. We all know someone like X. Mm. We all know. I think it is harder when as we get older, we're looking at the younger generation because, we haven't got teenagers yet between us, but already it's a minefield of the whole primary school thing.
Mm.
And that's where it's difficult. That's where we really need to start reading reports and seeing where the youth are going. People are like, oh, I'm going to go on Facebook.
They're not on Facebook.
They're not there at all. Mm. We're on Facebook because we've grown up with it for the last 10, 15 years. Mm. That's how long it's been going. Mm. So there are reading articles, there are research tools, there are companies that, research companies that constantly carry out these surveys, and that's how we find out.
You can hire, it must be expensive, but I'm sure you can hire companies that do research as well, can't you?
Yeah, very expensive. Yeah. But you can get what you need. You do have to buy these reports. So, if you went somewhere like Forrester or I'm trying to think of some of the sort of big research houses, you do have to buy the reports, but you can get them.
Mm. And I guess that sort of comes down to it at the bottom line is you have to know who you're targeting at the end of the day.
Yeah, you have to know who you want to buy your product.
Yeah.
And you can't say everyone.
No, exactly. And I guess so many people, when they first start their business, they go, it's suitable for everybody, but actually it's not. So you need to...
No, it might be suitable for them, but you can't speak to everybody at the same time.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think there's this fear, and I won't just say it's with startups. I think you go through this thing, but I don't want to exclude potential clients.
Mm.
Well, actually, you won't exclude them. They may come along anyway. But in order for you to get the clients you want and will work with, you need to speak to them.
Yeah.
You need to read it and think that's speaking to me. It's not just any ad.
Yeah, kind of thing. Definitely. Because, if you look at the service industry, so 10, 15, 20 years ago, if you wanted a phone line, it was BT. If you wanted water, it was, whatever. Mm. I think water's probably actually a sentence, probably a bad example. But, if you look now at the service industry for household bills, for internet, for phones and things like that, there are now almost hundreds of suppliers you can go to. And there are new ones popping up all the time. Online only suppliers, green suppliers, all of this. It's not a case of just going to BT. Mm. All of a sudden the mobile options are offering things as well. Lots of competition.
A slight aside, but it is in keeping with it. I have a Monzo bank card. And I remember I've had it for a little while. I was probably one of the early adopters. And everyone was like, well, how can you go with a bank that we've never heard of? And I was like, I think it'll be great. And now they're doing amazing things. Do you know what I mean by Monzo?
No, so you never even heard of them.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm just looking.
Yeah.
So they're like, it's a luminous orange card. You can't miss it if you've ever seen me pay for it.
Did you get the account because you wanted an luminous orange card?
Yes. Of course. And they're a digital, an online bank. So they don't have any shops.
Like First Direct.
Like First Direct. Yep. and they started off quite small. So I opened my account with a selfie, check that out, and I got the card the very next day. It was that simple. It was like, okay, tell us a bit about yourself, send us a selfie, so we can verify who you are and your driving license. And I opened account the very next day. And they do things like, I mean, what was irritating me about NatWest, I still have a NatWest account, I just don't really use it. But what was irritating me about them is I would pay for things and it wouldn't show up in my balance until days later. And you'd be like, well, I thought I'd accounted for that money. Monzo don't do that. They won't take you overdrawn with things. You barely have any charges. They automatically have a pie chart which tells you where your spending is. You can go on there and say, for instance, like gymnastics, which is where I spend all my money for my daughter. How much money have I spent on gymnastics this month? You can click gymnastics and it will show you what you've spent on them and where, and you can allocate it. You can split bills with friends, you can send money. It's really, really easy. Anyway, sound like I'm doing an advert.
But it's how? But that's the thing, though. We've never heard of them.
Yeah, I don't know why you've not heard of them. So I heard of them because my cousin had one, and I'm obviously a lookalike, so I'm just like her. And she's like, I've got this amazing card. It's brilliant. You can use it abroad. All these different things. You should get one. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. And everyone else in my family was like, oh, you've gone with a bank. Like, I mean, come on, you need to be with the big banks. And I was like, no, I'm just going to try it. And I'll start by just putting a couple of £100 in there. I'm not going to put all my money in there. I've been with them ever since. And now everybody in my family has a Monzo card because I'm a trendsetter.
Well, your cousin's a trendsetter.
A cousin's a trendsetter, yeah. And it just really works. But
and this is how it works. And this is the change in consumer habits. This is what we're talking about. Online, ease of use, data segmentation. It's what we want to know as consumers.
Budgeting,
we want to know everything.
Separate pots. You can put separate saving pots. All of these different things. You'd love it, Tabitha, because you're quite organised. This is as organised as
I get. Quite organised.
Very, very organised.
Well, look at that, because we've come to the end of the show now. We've run out of time.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, the marketing assistant, if anybody ever needs any help with their marketing, which we all inevitably do need some assistance, whatever, how can people find you and get in contact with you?
Go to my website, www.themarketingassistant.co.uk. I'm on socials, Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook at Tabitha is TMA or at The Marketing Assistant, or just Google me.
Google you and you'll find. Thank you so much for coming on. We've had some great conversations today. I can't believe we've come to the end of the show already. Obviously, we needed a little series going here.
We do.
Tabitha back every other month and catching up.
We always have a good chat, don't we?
Yeah. Well, we do. But and the thing is, marketing is vital. Every business needs to market. Otherwise, how the hell do you get your clients and sell? So, brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you, Gemma, for co-hosting. Next week on the show, I am joined in the studio by, who am I joined by next week? What's the date next week? I haven't got my piece of paper, see. I'm not very organised. It is, co-host is Ben Abbott. And our guest is actually the wonderful, gorgeous Lisa Settle, who's going to be telling us a lot more about the business diaries and how we all started it and everything. We'll be back next week. Paul's got a great show on Tuesday, so do tune in. Have a great weekend. Keep dry and warm. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.